Technology is an integral part of our business and personal lives, affecting virtually everything we do and experience in some form or fashion.
Information security.
As CPAs, it's never been more important to be ahead of the technology curve.
Privacy management.
That's why the AICPA established the Top Technology Initiatives list, highlighting emerging technologies that'll contribute to the accounting profession.
Assurance and compliance. Mobile and remote computing.
Here in Episode 6, we'll be talking about privacy and why CPAs should care about the changing business and regulatory landscape related to collection, use, and maintenance of personal information.
Privacy is a growing area of concern for CPAs and businesses with access to personal information. Joining me today are Ev Johnson and Ken Askelson of the AICPA and CICA Joint Privacy Task Force. Ev is a CPA and chair of the AICPA-CICA Joint Privacy Task Force. He recently retired from Deloitte & Touche, where he was a partner in their Enterprise Risk Services practice. He has served on a number of AICPA committees and task forces and has testified before Congress on online consumer protection and privacy. Also joining me today is Ken Askelson. Ken is the vice chair of the AICPA-CICA Privacy Task Force and is the senior IT audit manager for JCPenney in Plano, Texas. Ken has also served on a number of AICPA committees and task forces, and is a CPA, a certified internal auditor, and certified information technology professional. Welcome to you both.
We hear a lot of the term privacy thrown around quite a bit in the news and in the media. Ev, could you explain for us what exactly privacy is? What do we mean by that term?
Well, there are a lot of different definitions for privacy. Everything from physical privacy, freedom from surveillance, privacy of your communications, control over personal information, and views about the fundamental rights of privacy, and things like that. But of late, with the development of technology, a lot of the discussions have been around privacy of personal information. And how that's protected. You hear a lot about identity theft and things like that. And so from a business point of view, privacy is the protection of personal information and the individual's ability to control how it's used, what organizations do with your information, and how they protect it from being stolen and otherwise mishandled.
I think I have to add to that as well. Privacy as a varies widely depending on maybe the country, the culture that you're involved with, the political environment and legal framework surrounding privacy and particularly personal information as well. And I think some of the drivers behind a lot of change in privacy tended to be whether it was technology changes, increased regulations around that topic as well. And in addition, there's economic drivers and the value that businesses are acknowledging relating to personal information as well. So there's several various contexts of what privacy means, and I think as what you said, privacy to CPAs and the information that they deal with is for sure the assets to the organization that deal with personal information that an organization would have on its customers as well as its employees.
And we on the privacy task force, very often people will use the term privacy and confidentiality interchangeably. So privacy is really all about the protection of personal information, and confidentiality, the way we would define it, deals more with business information, things like business plans or product specification, information that's really not about people. In fact, the definition that we've got is that privacy is all about the rights and obligations of individuals and organizations with respect to the collection, use, disclosure, and retention of personal information.
You both mentioned the term personal information when you were talking about what exactly privacy is. Now, what constitutes personal information? What kind of information are we talking about?
Well, we really often talk about personal information and personally identifiable information. And that's information that can be related to an individual. Information like name, identification numbers, your address, your income, your hair color, your credit history, your driving record, your employment files, your medical records, loan records, and things like that that can be related to you. It may not have your name on it. It may have a customer number, but if you can be related back to your name or to you as an individual, it falls in this category of personal information or personally identifiable information.
Other things that I think needs to be considered in this definition of personal information is you need to also be aware of regulatory definitions. And, for example, some things such as the California Senate Bill 1386, the security breach, privacy breach legislation that they had, they define it as an individual's name in combination with the Social Security number, driver's license number, financial information, account numbers such as credit card numbers, debit card numbers, and so forth. Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act also has definitions around what they call personal information, such as Social Security number and account information, and so forth. The Children's Online Privacy Protection Act covers personal information such as name, email address, and so forth as it relates to adolescents under the age of 13. And for sure, HIPAA has some references to medical personal information as well.
And there's a subcategory of personal information that's often called sensitive information. And that really deals with information that could be more prone to abuse if it wasn't handled properly. This is things like medical information, racial or ethnic origin, your political affiliations or opinions, religious or philosophical beliefs, memberships in trade unions, sexual preferences, and other things of that type.
So how one defines personal information probably depends a little bit on the context and this notion that certain information could be used more maliciously or ill-intentioned than other information. Now, the concept of privacy isn't a new one. I wonder why we're hearing so much about this now. What is it that makes privacy so relevant in today's landscape?
Well, I think, Matthew, a lot of the interest now is for sure the privacy breaches that are on the increase and the rise with the notification laws and regulations that were passed probably 3-4 years ago, California being probably the initial legislation and several states that followed. You're just hearing more about breaches, and as a result, privacy breaches in the last 3 years from statistics that almost have tripled in the number of breaches that have been reported. And for sure, the other concerns around privacy is the high cost of breaches that, again, that organizations are realizing as it relates to a Poneman Institute survey and study showed that the cost of a breach keeps rising, and in 2004, that was $197 per breach. Other concerns around breaches, it's obviously identity theft. Again, identity theft is on the increase as well, and particularly around the privacy breaches that are taking place. And one thing that needs to be brought out as well is personal information is valuable information. It has value, and it's becoming a corporate asset and becoming very marketable not only to identity thieves, but also to its sprung up industries and businesses around personal information as well. And I think some of the emerging legal trends around that creates a landscape as well that where you're seeing more litigation, FTC sanctions and penalties for organizations that don't abide, have good privacy practices in place. And for sure, the rapid proliferation of state legislation that's taking place.
Yeah, there's some real cultural differences, too, between, say, North America and Europe in the way they view information and the way they view privacy. In Europe, for example, and this goes back kind of as a result of some of the atrocities in World War II, the culture there is that you know, personal information belongs to the person. And they own it, and when they give it to somebody, it's almost like a trustee relationship, where the culture in North America is quite a bit different. If an organization somehow gets personal information about you, unless there's a law on the books, you know, there's kind of a culture that says, well, they can really do anything about it. Now, that's changing for the reasons that Ken mentioned, very often, for a business that operates internationally, you run into these kinds of conflicts, and the laws can be quite different as you go from one country to another. So it's a real challenge for CPAs in helping their clients in this area.
Have you mentioned the laws being sort of a driver of this privacy dialogue that's going on, and a reason for some of the, you know, attention that privacy is getting? What are some of the laws governing privacy?
Well, in the United States, there are several, and they tend to be industry-focused for the most part. Well, first, there's the law that covers your medical information, which is nicknamed HIPAA. It stands for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And we all have to sign these privacy statements when we go to see our doctors, and this law really covers what hospitals and insurance companies and medical professionals can and can't do with your personal medical information. Graham, Leach, Bliley, which are the three members of Congress that sponsored that one, deals with protection of financial information. So that applies to banks and credit cards and insurance companies and organizations like that deal with your financial information. There's a lot of states now that have passed, Ken referred to these breach notification laws, so that if an organization has a security breach and it involves personal information, depending on how that law defines it, they have to let you know if it's your information. And there's the Children's Online Privacy Act, there's a number of others, and then there's some industry practices.
On the industry side, give you some examples. For sure, the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard for retailers, that has a major impact on the security and protections around the privacy of credit card information and the requirements that they have in place. And then others include the Direct Marketing Association's privacy promise. Members of DMA, they're obligated to follow the privacy promise that's portrayed by that organization. Others include the Fair Credit Reporting Act as well, and that relates to the sensitive information around credit information and the display of credit card numbers and so forth in that area. From an international perspective, a couple of privacy laws for organizations that do international business. for sure the EU directive plays a major role in any businesses doing business in Europe as well as in Canada. They have a privacy act called PIPEDA, and that's the Personal Information Protection and Electronics Document Act. And Australia, New Zealand, and Japan has come out with their own privacy laws as well now. So not only in the States, but internationally, organizations need to understand and consider what the jurisdictions they operate in and the laws that apply to them.
And it's interesting because most of the laws that Ken referred to internationally apply regardless of what industry you're in, where in the United States, as I mentioned, the laws tend to be very industry-focused. So it makes for an interesting environment for an organization that's doing business internationally. The European laws really govern you in the EU countries, which are based on this EU directive that Ken mentioned, really govern the movement of information from a country protected by those laws to one that isn't. So if you're, for example, an airline and you're taking reservations from Europeans, you have some very special requirements you have to follow.
Right, and these international standards only grow more important as the global economy continues to expand. You mentioned quite a few bits of legislation, international and domestic here in the United States, as well as some industry standards. What else do you see happening in the marketplace with respect to privacy?
Well, I think what you're seeing now is organizations are more concerned around privacy governance. Really, how effective are they managing and providing oversight over the privacy of personal information, whether it's your executive management, it could be a chief privacy officer. For sure, boards of directors need to be involved in those kind of considerations and risks to the organizations. So I think privacy governance is one of the major areas that getting greater attention in the marketplace. And for sure, businesses still want to meet and the expectations and of their customer. Obviously, if the customer wants to share their personal information with that business, the customer is expecting you to handle that with good privacy practices. Other factors, I think, in the marketplace that you're seeing is a lot of third-party providers and the outsourcing of this information. So a lot of personal information is leaving the organization to get processed by somebody else. So I think those considerations around outsourcing is something that you see more of in the marketplace. And for sure, there's areas of more penalties and fines. The Federal Trade Commission is levying these fines and penalties for organizations that haven't followed good practices, and to the extent that they expect in some cases to have privacy audits every other year for up to 20 years. Other areas I think you're seeing more organizations doing now is doing privacy risk assessments. It's part of their corporate risk assessment programs to where they go in and evaluate the risks they have around the privacy of personal information. And I think you're also starting to see more organizations perform privacy audits and privacy assessments. And those audits in large organizations oftentimes can be delivered by your internal audit group, or if you don't have the expertise necessary internally, you go outside and have a CPA practitioner come in and perform some of these reviews.
A lot of opportunities for CPAs in this area, and I just want to add, I think one of the big considerations if an organization does have a privacy problem, you know, Ken's mentioned a lot of costs and potential legal sanctions and things like that, but you know, it's very important to retain a customer trust and a good reputation in this area, and nothing can kind of damage that like a one or more privacy incidents, and customers will shy away from using that organization. So that is a very intangible, but can have a definite impact on the bottom line.
That's a good point, Ev. I think one of the key organizational risks that an organization has is to lose that customer trust, and it's very difficult to get that trust back once you lose it.
So I should mention that this is part one of a four-part podcast related to privacy, and that we'll be covering privacy related to businesses a little bit later in the series. But why should businesses care about privacy?
Well, I think businesses need to care about privacy. One is the area is the privacy notice itself that the organization provides to its customers or consumers, and the commitments and promises they make to the consumers. They need to ensure that they're able to essentially that their practice follows the promises made in their privacy notices. Other concerns and why they should care is the compliance issues. They need to understand the laws and regulations that apply to them in the jurisdictions they operate their businesses. And without having that understanding and knowledge, you could be subject to fines and penalties. And for sure, other areas is a big one is your brand and reputation risks in the event of a security breach, or if you have privacy concerns that customers have about your practices around that. And then again, as mentioned before, it was essentially meeting the expectations of your customers and trying to maintain those trusts that you build up with your customer. And the other concerns is in the event of a privacy breach, it may cause some significant damage and disruptions to your business just to work through getting through those types of issues and breaches that may happen to you.
It really is a risk management issue, and there are some organizations that have really kind of led and made good privacy a business advantage. And it all starts, as Ken mentioned, with the privacy notice, which tells the individual before you give your information, you know, what information is being collected and how it's going to be used and what choices you may have about its use. Sometimes you don't have much other than maybe saying, well, I'm not going to do business with you if that's your policy. But and it outlines a number of other issues. Can you go in and correct information that's incorrect and things like that? We'll talk more about that in a future podcast.
Ev, given the regulatory and consumer pressures for organizations to maintain sound privacy principles, do organizations have privacy officers, or who is typically responsible for establishing and monitoring privacy policies within the organization?
Well, it's extremely important that an organization define that and assign responsibility, because typically there are many individuals involved, and someone needs to be the focal point. You have your IT, information technology group. Very often you've got human resources involved when it deals with personal information about your employees. You have the sales and marketing people involved when it's personal information about your customers. And a number of other people can be involved all the way up to the board. So it's important that assignment of responsibility be clear. And a lot of organizations have moved towards a role called a chief privacy officer. And this would be the individual that would be responsible and would coordinate all the privacy efforts throughout the organization. And then there's a role here for CPAs, because very often a business isn't sure what to do, and they would turn to their CPA for advice. And how to approach the organizational issue and a number of the privacy issues, and implementing a privacy program or checking to see how good theirs is. And as Ken mentioned, if an organization has an internal audit function, they would be involved too.
Ken, aside from assigning accountability for privacy governance, what can businesses do to build trust among their customers?
Well, I think it goes back to their privacy notice and what commitments they've made to their customer. Again, ensuring they're performing in their practice is what they say it is. Be upfront with them on what your practices are as it relates to the collection, use, disclosure, retention of your of the information you're collecting from them, and ultimately implement and do those things you tell your customers that you are doing.
Have you mentioned that there's a role for CPAs to play? Why else should CPAs care about privacy?
Well, CPAs have long had, a very good reputation for being someone you could confide in, that you could give your personal information to, and they would keep it confidential, protect it from a privacy point of view. So CPA is sort of a natural place where an organization would turn to, their clients would turn to them with questions. And they have the basic skill set. But what some CPAs will need is some more education about privacy and how they can help their clients do that. But I think CPAs are very well equipped, and they also need to make sure that within their, if they're in public practice, within their firm, they're protecting the privacy of the personal information of their clients. And if they have, they do a lot of tax work, that's certainly a major area. But it's something most CPAs are very good at. There's a follow-up podcast that we will be providing that really delves into what CPAs in public practice can do to help their clients with privacy, and another podcast for CPAs in business.
So for those just getting their feet wet and who aren't really sure where to turn with respect to privacy, where can CPAs find additional guidance related to privacy?
Well, the first thing you could do is go out to the AICPA's website. There's a whole section out there at AICPA.org. /privacy, and you'll see a lot of material that has been developed by the Privacy Task Force. This, by the way, is a joint task force with the Canadian Institute of Chartered Accountants. So we've picked up a lot of things that would be useful internationally. But the main sort of bedrock tool that's out there is a framework that we call generally accepted privacy principles, and that's a different kind of gap than the accounting gap. And what it is a set of 10 principles for good practical privacy. Associated with each principle is a set of criteria. So we say we talked about notice, for example. Well, under the notice thing, there's here are the things that ought to be covered in notice, and there's one with security, there's one with choice, and things like that would be a very useful tool for a CPA to use to work with their clients. So go out to AICPA.org/privacy and take a look at what's out there.
I think in addition to GAP, I know they have resources such as an incident response plan template that's a good resource in the event that your organization would have a privacy breach or at least reference it for your organization to plan in the event that a privacy breach would happen. There's a lot of resources around why privacy is important and some general information and resources to other sites and resources as well.
And as Ev mentioned, we'll be doing some follow-up podcasts, one for CPAs in industry, one for CPAs in public practice, and one talking a little bit more about GAAP. This has been very useful information, so I just want to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Top Technology Initiatives podcast. Join us next time when we're going to continue our discussion of privacy and GAAP. No, not khakis, but generally accepted privacy principles. And if you're looking for more information on the Top Technology Initiatives, go to www.aicpa.org/top-tech. That's aicpa.org/TOPTECH. Or if you have any questions for us, email us at toptech@aicpa.org. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.